What's up, people? It's me. Hey, how you doing? Oh, got my mic really hot.
Woo!
There you go. That's a little bit better, huh? Wow. So what's up, people? This is The Bell Rays with Some Confusion City. And you're listening to The Alleluia Show. So be chill. Hang out. That's a rad song. That's Some Confusion Shit City. I totally dig that song. Yeah. So I've been having fun with this radio station. I'm on the way in. You know, I get to listen to it on the way in, and I heard like this local band, High Rollin' Loners, and then I put in Carl Klang, that Paper Money song, talking about the fiat currency. And it just feels good, you know, to hear that kind of music on the radio. Local music and political, kind of cool, radical, both music and messages. And then I got this other fellow of mine in this radio collective that we're a part of. He has a show called Radio Antifascista, and it's really awesome. And, ooh, that reminded me. Shoot. because... Ooh, what happened to it? Oh, here it is. Okay, so it was a really good show, right? So I had to laugh. I was listening to it the other day, and he had this awesome guest on, this woman named Pee-Pee, or Pippi. And so at one point, you know, DJ Lotus, he wants to address the news, and so he starts telling this news item about the CIA prisons that Bush admitted to. So I'm gonna just let DJ and his guest take it from here. Oh, wait, that's the song he was playing. Oh, I don't thought I had it queued up. Let me see. Oh, I think it's 32.
Of overseas prisons. Oh. Bush made the admission.
Oh, wait, here it is.
Hey, what's up? You're listening to Radioactive San Diego. You can send us an instant message at Radioactive SD. You can call us at 619-269-4693. You can email me at lotus@indiemedia.org. Yes. So now for a little news update. I was looking at Democracy Now! Today, and I saw that Bush gave a speech recently. And so Democracy Now! Says, President Bush has acknowledged for the first time the CIA has been operating a secret network of overseas prisons. Bush made the admission Wednesday as he ordered 14 prisoners previously held by the CIA to be transferred to Guantanamo Bay, where they could be tried by a military tribunal.
Oh my God! I can't believe it!
Yes. All right. That was our news update for the day. And now, a little bit of music.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that the most amazing thing you ever heard? God, I love that. So that was an awesome show. He's sort of wants to reformat and change it up again. But he always has really amusing and informative radio shows. So yeah, check out DJ Low25's podcast and radio show here on Radioactive San Diego. So yeah, I had an annoying day today where at work where it was just kind of like, you know, like I messed up, but I messed up because someone else messed up, and so we both messed up. So you know how that is. So that was annoying. And but one of the benefits of it was I got to hear, today, I heard it yesterday too. I got to hear the recent podcast, the most recent podcast given out by Upstart Radio, which is called Mind Walk, and it's really good. It's a really good podcast. You gotta check it out at upstartradio.com. And this latest one, I'm just gonna play the beginning, first clip of it. It's a 20-minute podcast, and this is just 6 minutes out of it. This is George Carlin with this really awesome quote. So thanks, Upstart Radio and Mindwalk.
Buying things. People spending money they don't have on things they don't need. Money they don't have on things they don't need. So they can max out their credit cards and spend the rest of their lives paying 18% interest on something that costs $12.50. And they didn't like it when they got it home anyway. Not too bright, folks. Not too fucking bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, if you isolate one of them, you sit them down rationally, and you talk to them about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions, right away they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They said we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that, and the kids still can't pass the test. They say, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. And that's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a fucking pencil. Got a pencil? Get the fuck in there, it's physics. Then everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education! Politicians know that word, they use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things: the flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start? Left behind? Someone's losing fucking ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But say what you want about American folks. Yeah. You can say what you want about Americans. You can call them smart, dumb, ignorant, innocent, naive, gullible, easily led, whatever you want. You're going to have to deal with them. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man. You know?
All right, that was the first clip from the very fine podcast Mind Walk that's most recently out, and of course it's George Carlin breaking it down in the only way that he can. Totally amazing, funny little clip. I really like it. I'm sure you heard about the victims of sectarian strife out in Iraq. That happened this morning, and then also the shooting that happened coincidentally on the same day up in Montreal, I guess that's where it was, and in that college. And you know, I really don't like thinking that the way I do. You know, it doesn't give me comfort. There's a lot of people that say, oh, people who are prone to conspiracy theories, you know, use it to create, a world that makes sense, to deal with the pain of a horrible world, that terrible things happen, and only a secret, tiny few really do, you know, manipulate all these problems from behind the scenes, and it somehow gives them solace. Well, maybe this gives me solace to think about it this way, but it seems to me that this whole Iraq quagmire is just manipulation largely by the elite, you know, black ops, powers that be, the people that can pull off stunts like that happened in Iraq. I haven't even read it yet. I just listened to it on the radio. And it was just like where I heard that they found over a 24-hour period 60 dead Iraqis with evidence of them most all being tortured at some point and left in little clumps here and there throughout. I guess it's Baghdad. I'm not going to search right now for it because when I tried, I didn't find it. So it's, you know, I feel like that's what's going on, is that this is just them, you know, they're the ones behind this. Is the intelligence agencies are the ones who really behind this sectarian strife, just like last year's Basra thing with the white guys shooting into, you know, crowded areas and their car full of bombs. Can I prove it? No. And like even this thing in Montreal, it's just like, you know, I could think, oh, maybe it's just a disturbed kid, but then it's like this young man in a black trench coat goes crazy, and then they're wondering whether there's two, and then they find out it's a lone guy. I heard on the radio, the guy says, lone gunman. You know, and of course, I'm just like, yeah, lone gunman. What's lone gunman? You know, of course, I'm supposed, like, it's like this mnemonic device, and it's all symbolic. Like, there's like this way that there's like, I don't know. It just, you know, I've been listening to I'll just tell you all the great podcasts that I've been listening to. This other great one called Red Ice Radio out of Sweden. And it's awesome. Just go to red-ice.net, I think is the website. And it's really awesome, too. And he had on this guy named Michael Tesarian. And Michael Tesarian's really super awesome, and I think I'll just play you some right now. Here you go. This is a little 3-minute clip called Universal Intelligence.
Universal Intelligence speaks to us daily. It speaks in symbols, not words. It was so important for the hegemonic authorities and patriarchal bastions to get us off the track of dealing with symbol literacy that even in the Bible, at the creation of Christianity, before thou shalt not kill, before that edict in the Decalogue, you have this particular commandment, which is thou shalt not make for yourself a graven image or a symbol. It was more important to them than thou shalt not kill. And we're going to find out why. It has to do with the brain and moving us into what's called a left brain type of thought, a left brain type of cognition, a left brain type of expression, away from the right brain holotropic concept, which was more common to our forefathers. But thou shalt make no graven images. What are the ancient world covered in? What is Egypt covered in? Is graven images of God, graven images of divinity. It was absolutely natural to our forefathers to do so, to portray divinity, to portray the mysteries of being in symbolism. It became a very different edict in the Bible where it says, first came the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Well, I take exemption to that. I'm sorry. In the beginning does not come the Word of God. In the beginning comes the image of God, or Goddess, if you want to be actually pedantic about it. In the occult tradition, it is essential that people become familiar with the role of symbolism and numbers and vibration and so on. What they call the Bible, let's say the Old Testament specifically, the five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, are based on the Torah. They'll admit that. You ask anybody who's in the know and they go, oh yes, of course we can accept that the Pentateuch originated with the Hebrew Torah. But what these people will die before they will admit or tell you is that the Torah originates from the Tarot. We haven't got time to explore this, but this is irrefutable if you do your homework and go to the reference works. In fact, it's the same word. The word is identical. But the difference is that the Bible and the Torah are communicated in words, right? Words. The Tarot communicates in symbols. And that's where the big problem is, because you can argue till the cows come home about a particular statement, because now you have a language barrier and you have an interpretation barrier. Well, look, in symbolism, red is red. A sphinx is a sphinx. There's no argument about it. But when it comes to a written terminology, that's when the blood starts flowing. And that was the intention. in ancient medieval art. All the way down from the earliest times, we have symbols coming out of the occult world. We're finding them in the scriptures, finding them in religion. The crucifixion of Jesus, the crucifixion of St. Peter. The entire Bible can be decoded using aesthetic principles alone, or astrotheological motifs, cosmological motifs.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, the dude's really deep. You got to check his stuff out. Whoa. Sorry about that. Wouldn't be a show, right, if I didn't do a little... I would like to play some more of that, but I'd like to also share a little bit about me. I actually was a religion major in college, and I found spirituality and religion to be extremely interesting and a worthwhile pursuit. I always had a problem with religion as a, you know, I grew up in the United Methodist Church and found it to be kind of boring, not very inspiring. The best part of it was when the guy was giving a sermon and, you know, telling about, you know, some story. And we had a really good preacher. He would tell really good stories. And he wasn't too heavy-handed or doctrinaire. So that was kind of nice. Sweet old guy. But the whole, like, let us say what we believe thing and that I need a savior because I'm somehow broken, I didn't go with. And that whole, like, everybody else who doesn't believe like us is going to go to hell. That was always kind of a big one for me. So... But I was deeply spiritual, so I was sort of conflicted growing up, and it was a major emotional drama that I had, you know, as a young man, studying spiritual works and scriptures and examining my own inner thought processes and where suffering comes from and how to live a heart-centered life and be in your emotional, physical, mental center and move from that, especially when it felt like it was sort of the system was designed to not support that a centered reality or what I call radical reality, because radical comes from radii, you know, the radius and this being in the center. So if you're radical, that means you're coming from your center. So that's where I always kind of felt like I was being a radical. Because I would, I was doing through my various experimentations through. I mean, I went through this Buddhist phase. I went through a psychedelics phase. I went through a raw food trip. I went through communal lifestyle. I lived, you know, in the city as a, you know, social type worker, you know, working in, you know, mainstream psychiatric facilities. And now I'm working in the transportation industry. So... it's interesting. It's an interesting process, you know. Like, and now I'm like thinking, well, you know, and really the focus now is sort of my children. You know, my wife's pregnant. And we're gonna have another child. I got a little daughter, and that's really what motivates me. Is my strong feelings that I have toward my family and my friends, and the vision that I have from all my experimentations in mysticism and higher consciousness. And a desire for peace is you have to your family is what you must return. You know, it's the reason why we struggle, and it's the reason why I do this podcast is for both my own personal center, but part of that personal, like, sort of desire to make a change or be that savior, you know, because the world needs saving, right? Not just the souls. The souls are all perfect. It's just somehow not all perfect, but it's just that the sins of some of these perfect souls are fucking it up for everybody. It's a little bit too much, and just like you need to back off and maybe take your trips of dominance virtual. You know, why not just use some of that, you know, all those programs that you want to run of wars and famine and power over and dominance and sexual oppression and sexual dominance and all that stuff that you want to do on other people. Why not just plug it, you know, kind of like just, you need to not do that in real life anymore. With the technology is good enough. Just simulate that stuff. And if you need to have that, you know, but I realize that it's not so much the experience so much that they're after. It's just creating and completing karma. I think that, at least that's my explanation, is that there's a past life, like, get back that needs to happen to make the karma equal. Like, if, you know, if you take my life, that means that I'm going to at some point have to take either your life or a life of someone you love in the near, you know, in the future to be complete. I don't know if that's my working hypothesis. I don't know if that's really true. I don't even know if there's past lives, you know, and I'm willing to hold the thought that there is no God. I just feel like at some point there is, because I've experienced the light, you know, I've experienced that kind of, if it's just a really rad psychedelic hallucination, I'd be willing to believe in it, because it felt really good to be love, to be healthy and centered, to be really intelligent, to be strong in all dimensions, and connected to, and feeling connected to the cosmos, and feeling like you're, you know, and it's kind of an amazing thing to quest after that, but it's still really, can be really painful and difficult when there's, you're not doing that. You're in survival. You're just struggling. It's just an everyday moment. There is no sangha. There's no community that you have a broken family. You don't have enough to eat, or you have too much month at the end of the paycheck, and all that stuff. So I, you know, and lately I've been focusing in on the more global stuff and trying to trace back, I guess, evil on this planet to, or why things can't just be the way I see it in my vision, this sort of utopic, you know, I have this vision of all of us getting along, sharing everything. Yeah, there's differences in cultural and how social structure, politics, and all those things, but that's all on a sort of very grassroots level, and we all sort of agree, like, to a sort of universal bill of rights that, you know, should be for everybody, that would be nice to import to around the world as a sort of imperialistic idea, but not as an imperialist state, not like, these are our set of laws and rules, and it's just more like, yeah, these are the things that we all agree on. Let's not hurt each other. Let's be honest with each other. If we damage someone's property, that I or my support group make good on that. You know, those kinds of natural law type of agreements, and as opposed to what we see now is this bureaucratic, you know, what's it called? Maritime admiralty, you know, law, where it's all just torts and retorts and up your tort, and I'll sue you, and I'll be the boy named Sue, and then you can't do that because I'll get you, and all this stuff. So that's my little thing right now. Yeah, so there's still, I mean, at this point, they're still killing these Muslims out there, whether or not, you know, and maybe they are just Shiites doing it because some, but they weren't even clear. They were just, they don't even know yet, I guess. But they were saying, they're sectarian violence. They're not even sure whether it's Sunnis who did it to Shias, because there's 60 of them. They're all showing up at the same time, and they're all the same MO. So it's got to be one side or the other, or else they're all just doing it to each other at all the same moment over a 24-hour period, and boom, there it is. No, I don't think so. And I don't have any proof about what I'm saying. I don't necessarily believe it, and you shouldn't either, but it's just a way, I mean, after what I do know about 9/11 and Oklahoma City and, you know, Guy Fawkes Day, it just seems like another false flag operation. And I want to, you know, thank everyone who listened to the last few shows that I did dedicate, you know, sort of focusing in on the five-year anniversary. I did a lot of 9/11 focus shows. And, you know, I'm kind of like, at this point, like, I agree that it is the strongest thread to pull on, to bring it all down. Because there is that emotional reaction, and it is an opportunity for radical change of consciousness. I'm just kind of, you know, I get tired of it, and I can't source, you know, like, oh, World Trade Center 7 and you know, the collapse of the buildings and P-TECH and you know, Marsh McLennan. I mean, and those shows already exist. I mean, you don't need to go. I'm sure you're not going to me because it said George Carlin on the podcast or something like that. And it wasn't because I was you know, I'm not going to write 9/11 on my thing again. You're not searching for it anyway. That's my little thing. Anyway, so I think I'll play some more Michael Tesarian just for grins, because I just rambled for a while, and maybe you like somebody just rambling for a while. So here's more rambling. I actually have a fan I heard about up in Pasadena who likes when I talk, but fast forwards all my music. So here's more talking. This is actually, I got this off of YouTube. YouTube's awesome. In fact, DJ Lotus says he's going to be uploading a film of his clown posse messing with the boring Minutemen. And they are totally boring. Minutemen are boring. I'm sorry. Minutemen are totally boring. And it's not because it's just like, I'm willing to have the argument about borders, no borders. I think borders are a good thing. I think I like my skin, and I like my personal boundaries and borders. But artificial ones drawn 100 years ago that serve no purpose except for the profiteering from bad people, you doing human trafficking and the global, yada yada. Anyway, I gotta take this call. So here's Michael Tesarian. Hold on a second.
This is the Tudor rose. The rose is a hallmark of secret societies. Nothing evil with a rose, it's just who's using it and what for. You'll find it copiously used in the imagery of the Grateful Dead. Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead is a member of the Bohemian Society. You'll find it on corporations that have long ancestry. And on tech companies, .com companies, you'll see the use of the red rose, and you'd wonder why the association. Here it is a corporate ad for Viagra. An interesting word that, if you get into it, it actually means the blood royal, or it means the river of blood, because that's your libido. They're giving you this product to raise your libido and using words that mean that. We have all of the different cosmetic companies here around the symbol of a flower. See that? These are all the famous companies indicating to you that they come from one source. The number 322 is important in occult circles because it's the lodge number of the Skull and Bone Society from Yale University. Why they use it is, there's many interpretations depending on who you are. Since these people are so involved in symbolism of astrology, not the astrology that's put before us today commonly, but a different kind of astrology, this relates to actually the spring equinox, okay, which is 321, May, March 21st and 22nd, when the sun, which is their great symbol, rises on the eastern horizon on March 22nd. That's one of the reasons why they use that. And the skull comes because these individuals were originally part of the pirates, what are known as the pirates, or the men of fire, who were sent out by the agents of the British royal family to colonize America. They weren't just a bunch of swashbucklers like you've seen in the movies. No, these were agents who were sent under the high seas to colonize countries like America and to annihilate through disease and war anybody that stood in their way. And they did a good job. And their ancestors then opened the Skull and Bones fraternities and the other occult fraternities that are here for the education of their own children. And they even call themselves the Men of Fire, or the Pirates, Pyra, and have the skull and bone symbol, which is the pirate symbol, because that's how they came here. And the number 322 is used if you look at the movie Enemy of the State, when the protagonist looks at his watch as the feds are busting in at the end of the movie, when Gene Hackman and the main protagonist are trying to leave. He looks at his watch and you'll see the letters 322. In James Bond movies you'll see this. If you're looking, you'll see that number used a lot. And here in Nike, you see in the flames? This is a Nike logo. Don't ask me what it means. You'll see, this is just one example. I have to be brief, but there's many examples of this. All of these pirate families became fabulously wealthy because from day one they were purveying opium, they were purveying alcohol, and they were purveying other things, slavery. They were involved in slavery when they colonized America and these other countries. And some of them, these families went on to become fabulously wealthy and are still known today. But as I said, they're not the rags to riches companies. Seagrams and all of these groups have a long ancestry in Bushmills. And one of them is the Bacardi group, right? Well, they are descended from these types that I'm telling you about. Here is their headquarters in Porto, in Portugal. Those flames are 10 feet high. And in the middle of there is the logo of the vampire bat with blood dripping down from it. So I don't know what it tells you about a corporate headquarters that has flames and 10 foot high with a blood-soaked vampire bat for the logo. But you can guess what their consciousness is like and the stream of dead bodies that they've left behind with their poison that they've been disseminating for generations. And here in the corporate logos, again, suggestion. They're telling you, they're suggesting to you that these companies that are famous come from the pirates. They do it in a designer way so you don't catch it. But if you know what is going on here and the symbols that are being used, they'll be too happy to tell you about the sun and who they are and the pyramid and the fact that where they have got their money and what they've been into and who they've been denigrating. One of the ancient symbols of these societies is the claw. I bring this up because you see a lot of motifs that look like corporate logos. You know, these are pretty much, you see these generically on banks, right? Look again. Do you see how that is a claw of a tiger or a bear? Because that's what it is. There's ancient societies called the African Order of the Tiger, of which FDR, Roosevelt, was a member of an order called the Ancient Order, the African Order of the Tiger. And their symbol was the claw marks. And you'll often see a claw like that surrounding the earth. Because these secret societies believe that that's what they're doing. That they are, in fact, gripping the earth, owning the earth. 666, everybody's into it. Can't spend too much time on it, but there's a lot of symbolism in the whole concept of the 666, the three sixes being used in corporate design. Here's the old company gateway before they changed it to a black and white cube. They used to use the three intertwined sixes and talk about gateways. Friedrich Nietzsche summed it up. He said, as long as you still experience the stars as something above your head, you will lack the eye of knowledge and never know wisdom. And was he right? Because stars are everywhere. They're on everything. The zodiac is one of the archives that the designers and the media giants go to. Their designers know to go to the realm of Sabianism and talismans and magic and to astrology to look for, and to alchemy. They look to the esoteric in order to be in business, although this is a carefully guarded secret. And talking about the zodiac, the Bible says that God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Let them be for signs. The signs of the zodiac have an ancient history. The zodiac is where we get a lot of these symbols, because the 12 signs that you're familiar with, the 12 generic signs of the zodiac, there are actually 88 constellations altogether around the ecliptic. 88 symbols. You don't know about those, but the advertising people do. They research them. They're not going to use the ones that you're familiar with, because then we'd catch on, wouldn't we? So they use the other ones, or they'll tweak or change things around. I'm going to give you some examples of how they do that. But cities, as I said, were based on zodiacs. Here's Paris, divided into the 12 divisions coming to the central arch with a phallic symbol in the middle. From the heavens, you have the constellations. They're not physically up there, it's just observation. But from there came the great symbols of the lion, for instance, and the crab from the night sky. The first theater of mankind was the night sky, which he could draw the pictures of his mind. And lots of these logos, lots of these symbols that we recognize as astrological symbols, nothing negative in them, but then they turn up in the corporate world, as we'll see in a minute. Stars on flags, all over the place. One of them, if you're into this, by the way, if you have a plan to go on and do any of your own marketing in any field, it's very important to know what they do, because what they do, you can also do. You can take your power back and use the same motifs, but use it for positive reasons, proactive reasons. The corporate people mostly use the fire signs and the earth signs, because fire has to do with energy and libido and will to power, and earth signs have to do with money, materialism, and ownership and assets. So just even using astrology as a hermeneutic of understanding how corporate logos are used is very important. And then you can start using it based on your own chart, for instance, or the message that you're trying to get across. Using the four elements is a very handy way of doing it, because it involves colors and different other kinds of techniques that you can use. Here's a good example of how stars play a role. This is considered the bear, which is the generic grizzly of America, of California. No, it's not where the symbol comes from, because the red star in the corner gives it away. The bear that they're talking about here is Ursa Major, the bear, up there. And the star is the pole star that the bear turns around. So what you have there is an astrotheological motif disguised.
Here he's talking about for years, the California flag.
Through the centuries, the bear, the seven stars were called the Magnificent Seven or the Shining Seven. The seven planets, even if you want to look at it. The seven planets in the heaven, the seven lights, which we find turning up as archetypes and stereotypes everywhere. Just observing how much the simple symbol of the sky is used in corporate logos as a backdrop is very important. The sky. Here's the symbol for Leo, astrological symbol for Leo. This is the astrological symbol for Virgo. The sun moving into the constellation of the Virgin. Virgo is where you get the Columbia Pictures symbol from. This is the ancient symbol of Cancer, the white horse, before the crab. Anybody here a Cancer? The star sign? Yeah, some of you? Right. Well, before you were given the symbol of the crab, your ancient symbol was the white horse or the unicorn. That's why you see on royal heraldry that symbol. So the white horse is the symbol of Cancer. And so when you see the sun behind the horse of Tristar, it just represents the sun in Cancer. It's an astrological motif. And the Virgin is Virgo with a 12 stars in her hair, or the crown of 12 stars, the zodiac. And the winged horse, as you see on heraldry here, represented Leo and Cancer, the constellations in the northern sky right beside each other, the house of the moon, Cancer, and the house of the sun. This is again based on astrology, and the winged horse being connected with Cancer. The corporation Safeway relates to the sign of Cancer also, because anyone who knows astrology knows that the sign of Cancer has to do with safety, security in the home, and food, mother, and nurturement. So the Safeway, right? And the yin-yang of the Cancer. And it also has to do with property. So the Cashin Company, which is a real estate brokerage, use the symbol for Cancer, because in Cancer astrology, Cancer rules the home and property and physical assets. Remember we said that Freemasonry is the blue and red degrees? Right? The opening degrees of Freemasonry are called the red and the blue degrees. You'll see a lot of those symbols around. Here is the Cancer symbol again. Yeah. But if you spell that word, it's an anagram for the word males. You couldn't have astrology without four cardinal points, or four stars in the sky through which it becomes all possible. So you'll see a lot of corporate logos using this forester or four-star motif. When you ever see the word forester or these motifs, realize they're talking about astrology and the four cardinal points, the equinoxes and the solstice.
All right. The name of that gentleman, again, is Michael Tesarion. That's T-S-A-R-I-O-N. That's T-S... T-S-A-R-I-O-N. Sorry about that, Michael. I'm a big fan of his, and I think his stuff is really amazing. You got to check his stuff out, MichaelTesarion.com, and I think his other one is Taroscopes.com. He's got streaming video, and this was taken from videos that that are out on the internet. And it's really great with a video, too. I'm just letting you know, because he's talking about all these symbolisms, and he has all these pictures of corporate logos, and he was talking about the California flag and other visual things, that because it's all about, like you said earlier that I played, it's all about the symbol. Anyway, I thought I would just share that with you, because I found it compelling. And I also find this song really compelling, too. This is Bad Brains, Leaving Babylon.
Gonna step
All right, that was Leaving Babylon. And I just have one quick question before we get on with the show. Is it ecologically correct to create your mulch with a gas mower? Something seems wrong about that. But I got a big backyard, and grass grows up. As much as I, would love to install that perfect permaculture with all throughout there, there's still a lot of grass, and it's fun to play in it too. So I don't know, but it makes good mulch. So I was making my mulch, and my dwarf grapefruit tree is flowering. And my papaya, I got a papaya that's ripe. I'm going to pick it. So I thought I'd play some J.W. May. And I listened to him last week and I really liked him. In fact, if you listened to my last show, I started off the show with just a clip, the back end. So I think I'm going to play either that song that I was playing, which is called Collateral Damage. But I think I'm going to play a song that I don't quite remember. Let's call this the song that I've never heard before, part of the show. But I think this is something called The Quitting Song.
Range with the wind whipping through the pines and the clouds are rolling in the strange. No, I ain't gonna ride out into the storm, ain't gonna ride with this outfit.
That was so good. I'm going to play another one. This is Collateral Damage by J.W. May.
Oh, yeah, that was J.W. May with Collateral Damage. That's a pretty heavy-duty song. So now we need to lighten the mood up with my new favorite. She is so awesome. This is Shira Girl with Fake Teen Angst.
So easy to be on MTV, so easy to be empty, so easy to be on MTV, but there's no authenticity. I see through your new black nail polish and your fake teen angst. I can see that do is take it to the bank.
What about revolution? What about art? What about fucking things up? What about speaking your own voice? What about giving up?
Are you kidding? This dream that we're living?
So easy to be on MTV. So easy to be empty. So easy to be on MTV. But there's no authenticity. But who cares? Not me. So easy to be on MTV. So easy to be empty. So easy to be on MTV. But there's no authenticity.
We have the symbols of religion being denigrated by the corporate world. Powerful ancient symbols that we've associated with spiritual uplift are now being used for a different agenda. Douglas Rushkoff, in his book Media Virus, says children's television and MTV are, in fact, are the easiest places to launch countercultural missiles. The more harmless or inane the forum, the more unsuspecting the audience. I highlighted MTV there for an interesting point. One of the methodologies that these individuals use in their corporate logos is based on the phoneme system. If you say the word as a mantra to yourself, MTV, and say it quickly, MTV, MTV, empty TV, empty TV, empty TV, empty, empty TV. Ever seen any kids that watch MTV? They look pretty empty to me, wouldn't you say? Well, that's what they were being told. The great philosopher and theologian Erasmus said, the main hope of a nation lies in the proper education of its youth. The others are saying to the children, forget it. Questions are a burden, and answers a prison for oneself. Let us take control. Stop thinking. It's too much of a bother. We'll take care of you. Esquire magazine said kids won't even find out how much their values have been perverted until they hit the high school. And Douglas Rushkoff says, we have come to expect hidden messages in our kids' television. Well, we got them. They're called the media. But they've been around longer than television. Because the word, in fact, if you study it, goes back to Medes. And to a place in the Middle East, not far from where Libya is now, called Media. And in Media were the sorcerers and the astrologers. Not necessarily negative people, but a tribe, a very adept cult from the ancient world, who specialized in the use of talismans, amulets, mantras, and sorcery. And the kings of the world knew that if battle hadn't worked, or if legal means hadn't worked to get rid of an enemy, or you didn't want to be known that you were getting rid of your enemy, you simply called on the Medes. And you bring the representative of the media in to your court, and he'll take care of the problem, because he's going to put the spell on your enemy, the hex, because they know how to do it. And that's where we get the word Mediterranean, mediation, meditation, and medication, the medics. Study this alone, and a whole interesting subject will open itself up. Because we still have, you see, the sorcerers and the voodoo and the witch doctory. We still have it, only it's now the techno-shamanism. It's the silicon sorcerers. It's the ivory tower witch doctors. And they're still very busy at what they're doing up on Madison Avenue and behind the other great corporate giants. Well, these individuals, they do go back a long way. And they have understood completely your psyche. They've had generations, centuries to study it. Their type of sorcery involves different kinds of techniques, but it's still the same effect. Telehypnosis, metacontrast, hemisync, synesthesia, embedding. New names, new terms, but for a very old, well-known practice. To get you into groupthink, into subservience. To get you to embody dialectical divisions of which there is no end in our society. To fashion your allegiances for you. To implant associations that your mind might not normally associate. To purvey escapism, rampant escapism, and projection of fantasy into reality. To inflate false personas so that you don't have to be you. You can live it out through the person on the screen. And the excessive eroticization, especially in regards of the female. What we're talking about today has enormous consequences for the women of the planet to find their power again. But just one point, just that little anecdote there. We talked about the endless dialectical divisions. Are you aware of how many there are? And that they're crafted based on a very set agenda to pose one party or one group against the rest. We could explore that alone. We could do a whole seminar on just that one thing alone, of the dialectical divisions that are created in our society. We've got a very, very important tripartite division that these media sorcerers use on us. It is the simple division between the three kinds of intelligence that we have. Most people think only in terms of mental intelligence. No. We should know that there is also body intelligence. Your body is an intelligent, vibrant, living thing. Completely self-contained intelligence there, cellularly. The mind, of course, we're familiar with. Overstated in our culture to an unbelievable degree. But then there's the heart, the intelligence of the heart. And they know how to send signals and coded messages to each of those kinds of intelligence. When you think they're talking to one, actually they're talking to another. And vice versa. So it's kind of hard to track it. It takes symbol literacy to know what they're doing. Who is the enemy? What tools are they using? They're happy to stimulate you in various ways. They're happy to take things away from you down through the centuries for thousands of years and then replace it with things you don't need. They're happy to make those associations for you that we see on billboards every day. Well, did I give them permission to do that? Did I want to see their artwork facing me or on the sides of buses? I didn't give them permission to talk to me, did I? But they're doing it. Somebody has taken a right off of me.
1, 2, 3, minute me. I used to be complicated, baby. I used to be very deep, deep, deep. I used to overanalyze myself. Didn't matter if I put myself to sleep. Now I just wanna have fun. I just wanna escape my life. I don't wanna bore you or myself. So I'll keep it short and keep you hyped, baby. 1, 2, 3 minute me. Just the way you like it, baby. 1, 2, 3 minute me. I'll keep it short and sweet. 1, horizon, baby. Count to 1, 2, 3. We don't need no consequences. We got an intro, middle, and end. We don't need no illusion of truth. Don't have the answers, but we'll pretend. Maybe 1, 2, 3, minute me. Just the way you like it, baby. 1, 2, 3, minute me. I'll keep it short and sweet. 1, 2, 3, minute me. Just close your eyes and baby, count to 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 1, 2, 3, minute me. Oh, don't try to fight it, baby. 1, 2, 3, minute me. Quick, make your point or I'll get bored. 1, 2, 3, minute me. You can innovate if it fits inside. 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. The minutes of my life are passing by. Yeah, time does fly when you're having fun. When work is play and play is work. Yeah, time does fly, but don't call me hun. We set up our lives into neat little spaces. 3 minute cases. No one gets tired or bored or ever gets more. Just 3 little minutes and they're on repeat. Incessantly. 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. 1, 2, 3 minute me. Just the way you like it, baby. 1, 2, 3 minute me. I'll keep it short and sweet. 1, 2, 3 minute me. Just close your eyes and baby, count to 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 1, 2, 3 minute me. Just close your eyes and baby, count to 1, 2, 3, 3, 3.
Whoa, I was cranking it. Sorry about that. Yeah, so that was Sheer Girl. She's awesome. Isn't she awesome? I love her. And her whole album, it really kicks ass. Presumably she's got MySpace. I don't know. I found her disc here in the studio, and I checked it out, and I love it. I might go out on one of hers. But we're still got a little bit of show left, so let's continue to amuse and amuse you with my whatever I'm doing. Hey, what's DJ Scruffy doing out there?
Hey, he's saying catch
wood. Oh, yeah? I like that last one. So, yeah. Yeah.
Such an idiot. Such an idiot. Such an idiot. Such an idiot.
I think that's what I'm going to do from now on.
Such an idiot.
When I can't think of something to say and I'm doing a radio show, I could just play this Napoleon Dynamite over it. Right?
Such an idiot.
So anyway, I thought that, what's his face? That Michael Tesserian was making some really interesting points about the media and how the media, you know, sort of creates all these memes. And I thought it went well with that whole MTV thing. So I made a little theme there. Did you just notice? And then her Sheer Girl had that 3 minute me song, because that's kind of what we're all we're offered is this shallow 3 minute pop song. And then that's what we're expected to have our kids think is really boss and righteous. I used to be a kid. I'm not really much of a kid anymore. Kind of an old fart. But I still like to rock out, and I've got, I'm young at heart, even though I'm realizing the dangers that we're looking at of, fascism, and its power, and it's, and the denial of, my, neighbors to acknowledge it. That's really the sad part. I thought I'd play a little bit of Jordan Maxwell since I'm talking about Michael Tesserian. And he's got a 10-minute clip here on YouTube that it's about fascism and the symbols of fascism. Since we're talking about fascism and stuff, he's not an idiot. So, you know, all that. Don't be jealous. You know, all that good stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to get back to some, maybe some more tunes. And, hold on a second. Hold on, I got some technical issues going on. Yep, it's thinking. You know how this computer is, it's just slow. So, yeah, I really recommend you checking out Jordan Maxwell. He's super boss. Bush, wait, what was this one? I got another video here, and it's slow. There we go. I think it's paused. It's thinking. So, oh yeah, I wanted to let you guys know, because I'm telling you all my podcasts that I've been listening to lately. I've just found the Are You Serious Radio show. RUSeriousRadio.com is his website. And he and I have something in common. Are You Serious and I have something in common. We both hosted Fred Burks on our first radio show as a guest. Fred Burks is an amazing person who testified to the defense of the Indonesian cleric Bashir, who was framed in the Bali bombing by the authorities. He was convicted that actually he did do it, but and I guess he's out of prison now. Anyway, Are You Serious has a really great podcast. Although this one recent one he did, he had some guy on there. It was all about war and shit, and he was just like, and he has this sort of really what I consider an annoying agnosticism about the quote 9/11 conspiracies, and but other than that, I find Are You Serious to be a really refreshing and thought-provoking podcast. And so anyway, recommend it. Check it out. Are You Serious? That's SIRIUS, like the radio station. And I'm sure that Michael Tessarian would have something to say about that, right? It's kind of in your face, right, since we're talking about astrotheology and the use of symbolism. And so we're just going to keep on that theme, since we're talking about symbolism and stuff. Who better to talk about it than the master, really, Jordan Maxwell. And send this out to thank Mr. Maxwell for his fine research. It's been I learned a lot from him.
Idiot.
And that's exactly what the government is saying today. You need to restore
such
that
an idiot.
Power. Oops. Yep. I got this Napoleon Dynamite on loop. Take that off. You'd think, see, I can't do two things at once. I can't, like, do my little talking thing that I do and then click the mouses for the buttons. Thanks for listening to Radioactive San Diego. If you feel like giving me a call, I'll put you on the radio if you want to after this clip. It's kind of a long clip, but I might just cut in. We'll see. But anyway, give me a call, 619-269-4693. And you can also instant message us at Radioactive SD. All right. Bye-bye.
Let's do this in. I don't know why, but I did. Here's Under Life and Fascism. I wanted to make the point about political symbols. We hear a lot of people talking on radio and television.
You know, I don't think I'm going to play that one because just the audio is so freaking bad. And, you know, if you want, you can just search YouTube for this Jordan Maxwell stuff. I'm going to play another one. Hopefully this audio will be better. And I think I'll go with Toxic Religion. Yeah, we'll go with Toxic Religion. Let's give it a shot.
Well, toxic means deadly. And religion has played a major part in all wars for as far back as one can go in history. There's never been a religious movement in the world that wasn't a little political. Never been a political movement in the world that wasn't a little religious.
Mm-hmm.
Religion and politics have always understood in the ancient world that the king represented not only the governmental arrangement and system under which the people live, but he also represented God, the pharaohs, the kings of Babylon, Sumeria. So the kings always had a dual position. They were the representatives of God, and they ran the government. And we've always had, in almost every government that's ever existed, a connection between church and state, so mm-hmm. to speak. It was only to the coming of America where There was a religious overtone with the founding of America, but it was established that each man had his, the right to believe whatever he wished, and that government and religion should not be mixed, because we're going to have such an influx of people coming from all over the world. There should not be one state religion. We should allow all people to have their belief systems in this country called America. But unfortunately, what we're seeing happening, unfortunately, in New York has religious overtones. Yes, they have political and monetary overtones, but the whole Islamic world is a religious establishment. Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany was a religious movement on the world scene. Most people do not realize that Adolf Hitler and the Communist Party, even though they vowed that they had nothing to do with God, the Communist Party and communism as we know it had tremendous religious implications. Their words and terms that were used by the communists and the Nazis can be traced back to religious philosophies coming out of Sumeria, mm-hmm. Babylonia, Egypt, out of ancient Rome, where even corporate fascism mm-hmm. is based on ancient Roman philosophies of who is going to govern the world, who will have the power to govern the earth. So these things that we are experiencing in this country, while they are obviously a tragedy, and no one's belittling that, there is much more to be known mm-hmm. As to why these kind of things happen. And I am saying that religion, unfortunately, is playing a very big part and that tragedy that happened, and I can show you how. Mm-hmm. And yes, there is a banking, there's money, there's high politics, but the highest political movement in the world, as far as I'm concerned, is the Vatican. The Vatican is a very powerful political entity, because there's a world of difference between religion and spirituality. One can be very religious and totally miss the point on being spiritual. Mm-hmm. Spiritual is something on the inside that goes inside of you and it connects you to your divine connection in the universe. And that's a very personal thing. Religion is a corporate entity, quite literally a corporate entity. Also, you might want to know this too, that banking... since the World Trade Towers represented banks and money, international money, it wasn't American trade center. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the United States trade. It was the World Trade Center. I do not believe that this was an attack on the American people at all. But when the national leaders say that this was an attack on America, it's the same and tantamount to saying, when someone, when the cops put the squeeze on a mafia guy, on some mafiosi, who is legitimately needs to put put in jail, they will turn around and say, "Look, all you're doing is just you are persecuting the Italian people. Mm-hmm. You know, you're picking the Italian people, and consequently, they're shifting the blame away from their own underworld activity mm-hmm. and saying, you are persecuting me because I'm of the Italian race or the Italian family." Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing I think is happening here. When we hear the government saying that this is an attack on America, I don't believe it's an attack on America at all. I don't think people around the world, I travel around the world, I don't think people hate America. I think that they are very unhappy and hate things that the American, so-called American leaders are doing around the mm-hmm. world in our name. As far as I'm concerned, this bin Laden Arabic guy, as far as I know, from what I can tell, he was a business partner in American oil companies. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, as it always has been. First of all, the word system, like our educational system and governmental banking system, the word system is a Latin word, in point of fact, that the Romans used for the sewer. It was referred to as the sewer system. Really, and so that's where the word system comes from. And consequently, it is true that that's what we have for an educational and judicial system. It is truly in the sewer. We're not being told anything. We're being lied to and deceived. We don't have leaders. We have misleaders. We have people who are manipulating, exploiting the poor around the world. This is not Americans doing this. But the problem is that the people who are running this country are not, in my opinion, not Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They are internationalists. They are people who have an international agenda. And it has nothing to do with who we are as a great people in America. We're talking money now. We're mm-hmm. just talking high politics.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about international money, and everyone realizes how sinister and insidious money, big money, can be. I mean, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Big money, international banking, is based on an occult system called the Uniform Commercial Code, mm-hmm. UCC. Uniform Commercial Code is the code of international banking. All banks operate the same around the world, no matter what culture, no matter what country. Any government that can give you something can take it away the mm-hmm. same way. That's mm-hmm. why civil rights, there is no such a thing as a civil right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have the American Civil Liberties Union, not a civil right. You have mm-hmm. civil liberties. Meaning civil comes from government, civili of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anytime the government gives you something, the next administration coming in can cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have any rights. You have a liberty, hopefully. What I was saying to you is that the governments of the world and the religions of the world work hand in hand behind the scenes. And they create all kinds of violence and revolutions and all sorts of trouble because of religious beliefs. I would also like to point out that your listeners should, and the audience should, if they're really interested to understand the kind of chaos that went on in New York, just remember what I'm saying here. Do some homework on this subject called the planet Saturn. Saturn was a very important symbol to the Nazis, to the communists, to the Christian church, especially in Judaism and in Islam. In Islam, the planet Saturn is very important. He is the god of the black robe. This is why we have judges who wear black robes and priests who wear black robes and young people, when they graduate, wear black robes. The black robe was the symbol for the god Saturn. Mardi Gras, a Christian celebration. Mardi Gras is a celebration of the destruction of an old order of the world, destroying, partying, raping, plundering, and the destruction of an old world order in preparation for a coming new world order. And if you go to the Rio and places like that where this Mardi Gras is held, carnival,
mm-hmm.
coming from carnivorous, the eating of flesh, mm. carnival, you will find that carnival are the king of carnival is called King Saturn. King Saturn is the god of all chaos and destruction. And you have that. That's Nazism. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the Nazis believed, is that you do something to cause great, terrible chaos and destruction, and it will frighten the people
mm-hmm.
into giving the king more power to create a new world order. This is what the Nazis did. The Nazis burned down the Reichstag building in Berlin to frighten all Germans and all of Europe. They blew up and burned down the government building.
All right, that was Michael Tesseri. I mean, not Michael Tesseri. That was Jordan Maxwell. And I was just reading a story that I'll read to you. This is dated September 4th from the CNN.com 2006. 9/11 spawned tech security market. It's out of AP. During the Cold War, Canada's National Optics Institute developed a system to detect which type of enemy tank or fighter jet was approaching. After the Soviet Union's demise, such threats were deemed less likely and the technology sat on the shelf. Until 2003, when the entrepreneur Eric Bergstrom toured the instrument with September 11th on his mind. The flash I had was that we no longer look for Russian planes in the sky, but we do look for bad things in luggage, Bergstrom said. The X-ray analysis company that emerged, Quebec-based Opto Security Incorporated, is only on the verge of putting its devices in real-life checkpoints, but it hopes are emblematic of the massive Homeland Security technology industry spawned by September 11th. Contrary to the promises from technologists that began almost immediately after the attacks, these 5 years have seen few dramatic security improvements. But the market remains a source of riches, real for some countries, still largely dreamed of for others, primed with billions of dollars from the U.S. and international governments. Spending on domestic security across the U.S. federal agencies is expected to reach $58 billion in fiscal 2007, up from $16.8 billion. Well, that's a big increase. In 2001, $16 billion in 2001, according to the Office of Management and Budget. States and cities are annually contributing $20 billion to $30 billion more, Gartner Incorporated Vice President T. Jeff Vinning estimates. Much of it lands with large defense contractors and systems integrators with long government ties and the heft to tackle huge projects. For example, Unisys Corp. got a $1 billion contract to set up computers, cell phones, websites, and other network technology for airport security staff. Bearing Point Incorporated won a $104 million deal in August to provide secure identification cards to federal employees and contractors. Still, a lot of no-names are angling for a piece. Even a tiny slice could be revolutionary for them. When Salient Stills Incorporated was spun out of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, founder Laura Teodosio figured its software, which enhances the quality of frames captured from video, making them clear to publish or analyze, would find its biggest success with media companies. But after September 11th, the FBI became a user, and Salient Stills' customer focus shifted to law enforcement. Today, revenue is less than $5 million, but it has increased every year. Teodosio credits the explosion in surveillance footage being captured by authorities and by regular people. Opto Security is at an earlier stage, having gotten only initial funding for upcoming trial deployments of its gear in North American airports. Using the optical recognition technology licensed from the Canadian Institute, Opto Security's devices attach to existing X-ray machines and are programmed to automatically spot weapons or their components. Opto Security will not say how many items it can recognize. There is not a lot of money that has trickled down to startups, Bergstrom conceded, but the problem is that now government customers are running out of innovation. If you look at the checkpoint now, it's the same as the checkpoint 10 years ago and the checkpoint 20 years ago. Some measure of technology's limited impact since September 11th can be gleaned from the Department of Homeland Security's budget request for 2007. The DHS cited 25 key accomplishments in the 3 years since it corralled 22 federal agencies, but most of the victories surrounded organizational changes and improved use of resources. Only three items linked to technology to better September 11th-style safety. One celebrated the rise of data-sharing network that routed secret information among the 56 federal sites. The other two revealed to a single program, U.S. Visit, which incorporates biometrics and the machine-readable passports to tighten border control. DHS touted this about the program. Of the 44 million foreign visitors it had processed, U.S. Visit has detected 950 people with criminal histories or immigration violations. So, and then they talk about the emerging market, and it goes on. But this was a pretty interesting story, and it just goes to show you what, you know, all the money can be made if you're in the right industry from September 11th, and that's really important thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about September 11th is the money and who profited from those crimes. One thing that this brings up to me is that whole the smelling. I heard there's some kind of surveillance technology they're working on where it smells you as you walk through the. So they're trying to find out what kind of vapors might be emitting, which I thought was pretty interesting. Anyway. It's getting on with my show, and if you're this far along, then you probably would like to hear some more Jordan Maxwell, right? Because you've already gotten this far. You've listened all the way through, and I thank you for that. So Let's just go ahead and play some more Jordan Maxwell just for grins, and maybe I'll go out on a song and wrap it up, maybe. All right, this is, well, maybe I'll play, I don't know. This is More Toxic Religion, an interview given with Jordan Maxwell. So here's more Jordan Maxwell for you.
George Bush, the father of the president, was famous for newly bringing into our language and our psyche in this country an idea called the New World Order. All one has to do is go back and read Nazi philosophy, Nazi symbols, and that's what Adolf Hitler was trying to do, is bring in a new world order. So I'm saying that Americans need to wake up and find out, where did these religious and political ideas come from? A lot of people don't realize that in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, a Mecca is a square, it's a black square, that's a symbol for the planet Saturn.
Mm.
Many people do not know what we call today the Star of David. The two triangles mm-hmm. interlace, becomes a hexagram.
Mm-hmm.
The ancient people said they were putting the hex on you. And so they put the hex on you, and you wear the hexagram.
Mm.
And that was that star, six-pointed, what we call the Star of David. In history books, you can go and read it in the library. It's called the Star of Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Jews still today go to a temple on Saturn's day. And it's a fascinating story about how Saturn was referred to as El. And today we even have people who are worshiping the planet Saturn in religion and don't even realize it. We'll call elders.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of the elites. Well, how did you get to be an elite or an elder? Well, you got elected. How did you get elected? Well, it's all of these words and terms mean mm-hmm. something, and they have a definite occult or hidden religious significance to words. People are too busy trying to earn a dollar to really sit down and look at the back of a dollar bill. You know, the back of the dollar bill is filled with occult emblems and implications that would stagger your mind. If you look at the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, look at the presidential
mm-hmm.
seal,
mm-hmm.
you will see the Star of David above the eagle's head. Go look at the back of the dollar bill. The 13 stars, why do you have 13 stars? Why did you have 13 colonies? The 13 stars on the back of the dollar bill make up the symbol of the hexagram. There are nine feathers in the tail for the Council of Nine in the secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
All of these symbols and emblems and things that we take for granted every day, national coats of arms, heraldry, symbols, emblems, are trying to tell you something. I am afraid that what's going to happen, and it's going to happen very quickly, we are going to be talked into, because we're an ignorant and ill-informed people in America. We're a trusting people, we're generous, and we don't do a whole lot of homework, and we trust our misleaders,
mm-hmm.
And they're lying to us, and I think we're going to be talked into something called a new world order, a world government. Because only in order to protect us all, we've got to have a new fascist international Nazi world order in which Herr Führer will now save the great nation. I don't think the Nazis lost anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just lost a battle. They didn't lose the war. They lost a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Nazism is still very much alive under Operation Paperclip. The Vatican supplied all the top Nazis with identification, with passports, with money. The Vatican supplied all the top Nazis to get out of Germany when in 1944-45 they began to see that the war was going bad for Germany. The top Nazis were quickly and quietly slipped out of Germany because the war was going bad. The Vatican was formed something called, and go do your homework. The word is a rat line, RATLINE, rat line. The Vatican had something called a rat line in which they were getting top Nazis out of Germany, sending them to the Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil, and the top of the line Nazis were being brought into America to operate in the Pentagon and into our government here. So that our government today is just filled with Nazis from the old regime. But mm-hmm. Americans don't know that. They have no idea about Operation Paperclip. Look at symbols are very important. Words and terms and symbols are very important. So I'll give you an example. Let me give you an example by showing you a few slides.
Okay, let's do that.
And what we're gonna see is just something that you see all the time, pictures that you see all the time, but you just didn't know what you were looking at.
Okay.
Very clever. Very, very clever.
This should be very fascinating.
The first time, for instance, the papal headdress. People have seen the papal headdress the Pope wears. That headdress is referred to, that papal headdress is referred to as the Pope's mitre, the papal mitre. And many people have seen that headdress and never realized where it came from. As a matter of fact, let me give you a better picture. Now, with this particular picture is a wood carving from the Middle Ages of Jesus going before the high priest Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest. And the Jewish high priest is wearing, this is a Jewish high priest, wearing the papal mitre. And this is exactly why the Pope today wears the Jewish yarmulke. He wears the Jewish skull cap. Because there's a very definite connection between the Vatican and the old ancient Sumerian, Babylonian, Akkadian system. And the symbols are very interesting. The reason why we have the papal mitre is because many of the ancient gods in the Phoenician, Canaanite, Babylonian system were said to be fish gods, gods of the sea, the fish gods. And consequently, we have in reference books, you will see some of these ancient priests representing themselves in clothing of a fish. Dagon, the fish god. Now, this is why the Pope's mitre is important, because what the Pope's mitre actually is the symbol for Dagon, the fish god. Here we have...
Oh, you can see that.
Yes. However, when you do it this way, the fish is Dagon, the old Babylonian, Sumerian, Phoenician, Canaanite, Dagon, the fish god. Here's another picture of the Pope, and you will see that the headdress...
There it is again.
There it is again, the fish god. Let's see, the black square, the square mortarboard. That is connected directly to Mecca. In the Islamic world, Mecca is the black square. It's called the Kaaba stone. Now, the point I was making before is that something as simple as the papal mitre becomes actually from a fish head. And therefore, Christians are driving around with a fish on the back of their car, not realizing that it represents Dagon, the fish god. And in Islam... In Islam, which is, of course, what we're talking about going to war with, that's a lot of people in the Islamic world. And they have a very, you know, a very important religious belief system that says we are their enemies. But the very idea of Islam is worshiping the God Allah. All one has to do is go to a dictionary and look up Allah, and it will tell you that Allah is the same as the Jewish God in the Old Testament, Yahweh. Yahweh is the Hebrew God of the Old Testament, and Allah is the Islamic God. It's the same thing. Allah and Yahweh and Allah is the same God. It's just one language is Hebrew and one is Arabic. The people of this planet, the Islamic world, the Muslims do not realize that Allah is connected to the planet Saturn. This is why Mecca has a black square. Mecca is called the Kaaba, or the Kaaba. And this is why today we have streets in England called Kaaba stone streets. Little black squares, the Kaaba. Or you graduate from university with the black square, the Kaaba. Because we're ignorant. We're not very well informed. And consequently, people who are far more clever and far more well-read and highly paid and have no morals or scruples at all, know how to manipulate and exploit us so we fight ourselves. And the idea is keep everybody busy, mad at each other, and now they won't look at you, what you're doing.
Yep. So that was Jordan Maxwell. Man, the guy's breaking it down, and it's pretty cool. So I'm going to... just play a little bit more music here. This is a guy named Paul Yambasu. And I lied earlier. I'm going to play it. This is going to be one of my... This is called Funk Flow. Actually, maybe I'll play Shine. I think I'm going to play Shine. Okay, so hold on. This is going to be Shine right here by Paul Yambausa. I haven't actually listened to him before. This is another one of my trademark things that I do. So I play stuff I've never listened to before. Okay, here we go. Oops, that's MySpace for you. Okay, sorry about that. Maybe, did I do that? All right, well, sorry about that, Yambausa. Yeah, well, I guess that's MySpace for you. Sorry, I'm getting it off of MySpace. All right. Well, maybe I'll just... I'll try another one just to get a little vibe for it. This is Funk Flow. And we'll see how this vibe is. Let me just pause it really quick. And, okay. So that's Paul Yambausa. Anyway. I think we should just... I'm riding this as a Jordan Maxwell high, so I think I'm just going to run with it. You know, just ride it right out. And then that's what you're going to get. So, Paul Yambausa. Played a little bit. Go check out his MySpace. It's YAMBASU. It's MySpace/YAMBASU. And if you'd like that little jam I just played. Sorry I didn't play it more, but it was kept on cutting out. So let's try this one more time. This is the closing out of the Toxic Religion three-parter that I've got. All right, here you go.
A lot of people do not know the Vatican made a contract, an actual contract was signed with the King of England back in the Middle Ages, where the Pope said that he declared himself the Vicar of Christ. The word vicar in Latin simply means someone who stands in for someone else. So the idea of today, we know the Pope is the Vicar of Christ. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. It means that according to the Vatican concept that God created the whole heavens and he created the earth, he gave the earth to Jesus, his son, and so consequently Jesus owns the earth and everything on it. But since Jesus is not here right now, somebody has to run the earth. So consequently, the Pope is going to stand in for him till he gets here. Right? So he's the vicar of Christ. However, the Pope is very busy, and he doesn't have time to run the whole earth. He's got important things to do. So he made a contract, an actual legal contract was drawn up between the King of England and the papacy, in which the Pope gave in a trust document, and a trust set up the whole world in a trust and gave it to the King of England to run. A lot of people are totally unaware of this contract between Rome and the King of England to rule the world. And at that time, the people who were called English became known as British. British comes from a Hebrew word, berith. In Hebrew, the word berith is a contract or a covenant. And ish in Hebrew means man or men, can be singular or plural. Therefore, berith-ish, contract man, or man of the contract, or British, the man of the contract. This is why in the Western world, anything you're going to do in business requires a contract. That's the way the Vatican set it up. All international banking is based on contract. Consequently, all international banking law is based on Vatican canon law. Vatican canon law is the basis for international banking law all over the earth. Now, how many people know that? And once you understand how the uniform commercial code that runs the banks, also they bought you. And that's a whole story, how you were born, how you were bought by the banks when you were born. Indiana Jones is commissioned by this government. For some reason, this government decided they wanted to find the lost Ark of the Covenant, which is a Jewish symbol in the Old Testament. First of all, where did Indiana Jones go to look for the lost Ark of the Covenant? The first place he goes to is Tibet. Why would he go to Tibet? Well, first thing he finds in Tibet was another Nazi, a Nazi looking for the lost Ark. Now, why was Indiana Jones and the Nazis meeting up in Tibet? Now, after that, they go to now they know where the lost Ark is. Where did they go? Do they go to the Holy Land? Do they go to Jerusalem to find the Jewish lost Ark of the Covenant? No. They go to Egypt. Why? And they find it in Egypt. Why? And the Nazis are there in Egypt. And incidentally, go back and watch the movie and you'll find that the Nazis were being led by a Frenchman. A French archaeologist is leading the Nazis. What is going on here? Why are Frenchmen leading the Nazis? It has to do with a secret society that is highly connected to the Nazi world movement in France called the Priory de Sion, the Holy House of Sion. The Priory de Sion is a well-known, established fact of life now that we know that there's been for many hundreds of years a secret society operating in Europe called the Priory de Sion, or the Holy House of Sion. The Ark of the Covenant. Now, here is the Ark of the Covenant in the middle. That is on the New York State seal. And as I said, the Ark of the Covenant, a covenant is a contract. It's important to remember that a covenant is a contract. Now, what you need to understand now about this symbol is that the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, in the Bible, is a story, and it's based on an original story that we have never been told. The original story was not a Jewish Ark of the Covenant, because there was no Jewish Ark of the Covenant. Now, what I'm saying is that when you do your homework and go to the Jewish reference works, you will find that the Ark of the Covenant was actually an Egyptian symbol, and it was referred to 1,000 years before there was ever such a thing as an Ark of the Covenant. In Egypt, there was something called the Ark of the Contract. The Ark of the Contract was an Egyptian Ark, not Hebrew. And even in Smith's Bible Dictionary, you will see that it says there that the word Ark was adopted from the Egyptian. There is an Egyptian Ark. That's from Smith's Bible Dictionary. Now here's another one from another Bible dictionary. And just stay there because we're going to have another picture. And you will see, there it is again, the Egyptian Ark or sacred chest. So consequently, the whole idea of the Ark of the Covenant was actually called the Ark of the Contract. This Ark of the Contract, incidentally, was supposedly a contract between the gods of Egypt and the pharaohs to rule the world.
So it
was referred to as the Ark of the Contract. But remember, we're talking about at least 500 to 700 years before there would have been an Ark of the Covenant. In Egypt, there was an Ark of the Contract. So the point I'm making here is that we need to understand that there's a world system at work which is based on deception, misinformation, misleaders. All of our governmental superstructure in America, and listen closely to this, all of our governmental arrangements in America, all of our religious institutions in the Western world, all of our governmental laws, jurisdictional laws, regulations, codes, all of these things which govern the Western civilization are druidic. They are absolutely Celtic druidic system. And unless you understand the Celtic druidic system and the old ancient Egyptian, Sumerian, Babylonian, Phoenician, Canaanite system, understand there's been a huge, enormous amount of material that has been covered up so that people just go all about their daily business to their synagogues and to churches and never, ever question where any of these things are coming from. But a lot of people don't know. When you see the American flag, that flag that is called the American flag is not the original American flag. They've slipped this one in on us. That American flag you see flying everywhere is a wartime martial law flag. It is not a flag of peace for America. It is a wartime flag. Go do your homework. Go in the library and get a book on flags, and you will see that the original flag for America, the flag that represented America, had stripes up and down, not across. The Twin Towers goes back into the most ancient world. All the ancient temples in Egypt, Sumeria, Babylon, Phoenicia, Cana, Greece, Rome, all of the ancient temples, all of the ancient holy places on the earth always had dual symbols in the towers, even in the Bible. And one was called Jachin and Boaz. They were two twin towers. It's well known that Jachin and Boaz in the Old Testament, what it symbolized. And there's sexual symbolism in all of this too. I mean, classic example of sexual symbolism right here in your face is in Washington, D.C. with the Washington Monument. The Washington Monument is an obelisk. The Washington Monument is an Egyptian obelisk. An Egyptian obelisk is a male erection. It connects to the Oval Office. Okay? I'm serious. This is what the symbols mean. This is why there's a water down, the waterway down between the male erection and the Oval Office. It's the waters of life. You came out of your mother's water.
Where you were birthed.
Absolutely. It's an extraordinary story of betrayal, lies, deception, and I'm saying that what happened in New York, we need as Americans to start doing our homework and finding out who runs these banks? Who was it that sets these religious institutions up? Where do these terms come from? And I would also throw this in, and I'm not expecting you to understand it right now, but you go to my website and do some reading on it, that there is a world of difference between being a United States citizen and an American citizen. It doesn't mean the same thing at all. We need to understand we've been lied to, deceived. And this kind of information is now more so than ever needed.
All right. That's going to do it for me. Jordan Maxwell, more eloquent than I could hope to be, and more knowledgeable, too. I'm just kind of messing around here. Kind of busy with my thing, so I'm really glad for people to be bringing this information to me. And I'm passing it along to you because I find it interesting. So, with that, I'm going to close out the show. I did want to make a quick mention that we are, in fact, having a benefit hip-hop show. Radioactive San Diego is going to be having a benefit hip-hop show with MC Lynx headlining and also local favorites Id and Vision, the female MC. So that's going to be October 14th at Vos Alta down there at around the 1500 block of Broadway. So it's downtown, kind of East Village, right next door to Landlord Jim's. Doors open at 8:30. It's going to be rad. If you're in Southern California, you should come down and check out Radioactive San Diego's benefit show and help support our equipment. And maybe we can get better computers and better equipment because we are commercial free. And so if you like what you hear on any of our programs here at Radioactive San Diego, give us an email, send us a holler. Our number's 619-269-4693. Our contact info beyond that is at radioactiveradio.org. So please hope to see you this coming October 14th at our benefit show. So since we've been talking about MC Lynx, I thought we would close the show with this fine artist that's coming down to San Diego to play our show. This is I think I'll play this one since we've been talking about stars in the sky and symbols and stuff. This is a song called Stars in the Sky by MC Lynx. Have a good night, people. Peace out.
So I was working as a canvasser, knocking on doors, you know, trying to raise money to defend the forest, supporting legislation and rounding up signatures, trying to put pressure on the local state senators. The harder I worked, the more I realized that the pigs don't care about the people's cries, and that the big money men make campaign contributions, then the state pays them to make pollution. And while the pigs might say that they're looking out for us, they're paying corporations to clear cut the forest. And it really doesn't matter how many letters we write, cause there's only one way that we can make it right, and that's direct action. Get satisfaction. If they do it for the money, we should start subtracting from the bottom line and destroy their profits. And there really isn't shit they can do to stop us. So I saved up some money, just in case, to pay my last month's rent. Started looking for a place where I could make a difference, and shit was cracking. Got a word from a friend about a clear cut happening up in Oregon, just south of Eugene. This shit was nuts, I mean, it was obscene, because the company was breaking every law on the books, and it's not exaggerating to call them crooks. It was on federal land, public property, the pigs were paying them to commit robbery and clear cut one of the last old world forests that has stood untouched by generations before us. No environmental impact reviews, of course, and it's funny how that kind of law don't get enforced. So the only option left was to do it ourselves and tell the corporation they could go to hell. Across the state line, checked in with the support crew so I could find a way to help out and try to lend a hand. They said they needed tree setters, so I got in the van, got a ride to the grove, introduced myself to the kids in the woods. They straight looked like elves, or maybe Ewoks with the village in the trees. I was scared of heights, so I gritted my teeth and grabbed a hold of the rope, climbed straight up, feeling kinda sick, like I might throw up. But everybody was cool, just chillin' friendly, nobody acting fake or trying to be trendy. So I found a friendly tree, got myself situated, borrowed a good book, kicked back and waited. Reading Kerouac, wrote most of my first album. What I learned is that revolution really isn't glamorous, and free love doesn't mean you're amorous. And all I did was freeze my ass off and sit in a tree. But for the first time in my life, I felt free, and I learned to make peace with myself and start healing the scars on my soul. The pain that I was feeling took off at the end of the month, and went home, took a little time off just to
be alone. Found out a year later it was worth all the rain. When the clear cuts were canceled and they won the campaign. And I really can't take any kind of credit, cause I only stayed a month, but they'll never forget it. Cause it changed me forever, and that's no lie. Just the wind in the trees and the stars in the sky.
Doing tomorrow?
I was thinking about changing myself to a bulldozer.
Do you want to come? What time?
1:30.
Sounds good. Should I bring my own chains?
We always do.